they're showing you something about yourself. If you can ask that question every time somebody irritates you, just ask yourself, like, why is this upsetting me? Like, what is going on here? Like, what am I wanting out of this situation? What am I not giving myself? How am I guilty of this? And there can be a lot of growth that happens.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Hope you are having a beautiful day. Today is going to be an amazing conversation with Mitzi on limiting beliefs. How are you today, Mitzi?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to hit right off the bat with a great big old question here. Can you explain what a limiting belief is and how we might identify one in our own thinking?
Great question. So what is a limiting belief? It's something that limits you. And how can you identify a limiting belief in your life? Like, know that you have one?
Yep.
Well, you have a problem. If you have a problem in your life, you have a limiting belief that's behind that problem.
Okay, let's dive more into that. So a limiting belief is anything that limits you. Can you give us some examples and maybe even some in your clients or in your life that has hindered you or held you back?
So when I say limit, what I mean by limit, first off, I want to define that, is that anything that can limit you from peace, joy, happiness, alignment, enlightenment, that kind of limit. But it limits you towards anything. So like what I mean by a limit is like, thinking, oh, I have to do residential real estate before I can do commercial real estate. It's not true. I have money and savings before I can invest in real estate. Not true. I have to have a degree to make over $100,000 a year. Not true. It's just a belief that's just not true that you've chosen to believe to be true for yourself.
So it can be in business. It can be personal. It could be, I don't deserve this certain spouse or I don't deserve this certain partner. Do you find that often as well?
Yes. Well, I thought because I left my last spouse and they were good to me, that this new person that isn't that good to me is what I deserve now. So they got this belief that's limiting them for true love because they punishing themselves with their current partner because they weren't as good to their past partner.
So if someone were to say that we're listening, like we're curious if they had limiting belief, how would someone know if they had a limiting belief or not?
You know, it's really hard for someone to actually see it themselves because most of the time it's a blind spot. So you can't see it. It's like reading the label from inside the jar. You're not going to be able to do that. And this is why it helps to have a coach. A lot of my limiting beliefs, I had no idea were my limiting beliefs until someone else pointed it out. And you know that statement that says, the first truth will piss you off, but then it will set you free.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like one of those. It was like a slap in my face. Like, oh, you just don't believe you're lovable. And I'm like, yes, I do. Blah, blah, blah. And it took some time. And I was like, that's true. I don't. And so it was like, it took some time to process it. And I think limiting beliefs may take some time for somebody to process it because that's what the foundation for their life right now.
So I have the same issue for like 47 years. I lived this lie trying to be someone who I wasn't, right? And if you'd asked me, hey, do you have self-love? I'd have been like, of course I love myself. And do you care what other people think? No, not at all. And do you have high self-esteem? Absolutely. And it wasn't until, just like you said, I hired a coach. Actually, I was trying to get my son help for his anxiety. And I went to find him a coach. And that coach looked at me and she's like, you might have some issues. And I'm like, okay, I'll go with that. I'll be open to that. And working with her and her husband, man, I came out with a lot of new information and limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. So I guess some things in life are just really hard to do on your own. And this is one of them, identifying limiting beliefs.
I just knew that I wasn't happy. I thought I was happy, but like sitting down, I'm happy by myself. I'm not somebody who's like, I got to be around people. Or so I was like, oh, if I'm happy by myself, that means I'm a happy person. I can be happy in a relationship or whatever. All these statements that people, these statements, a lot of them are just half-truths. But I just knew that I didn't feel like I was where I should be by the time I thought I would be. Like at this age, I thought I'd be somewhere else than I am. And I knew that I was hitting certain limits. And I was like, why can't I make it past like this amount of money in my account? Why can't I make it past like, why can't I have this kind of relationship? Like, why does it seem like I've created this little box for myself to live in? And it seems like I can't get out of this box. Like, I'm only allowed to have this, but other people can have this other stuff. Like, who set that rule up? And then like, I started looking into it. Oh, I set that rule up. What the hell? And then I was like, oh my God, I got to tell everybody. But it was me having like different coaches and then also my friends talking to me, being very honest with me. And then me looking into it further and further, trying to figure things out. Cause I was like, feeling like I'm stuck in a box. I can't get any more than what I have right now. I almost started accepting that to be life. Like, oh, well, people suck. I mean, you got to work really hard for money anyways. So I'm just going to be stuck working really hard. And, you know, like all these limiting beliefs, you got to work hard for your money. You got to have money to make money. You got to be the perfect partner to get that perfect partner. Like, like you're ever going to be perfect. But it was figuring that out. And then I was like, oh, okay. So there is no box. I created my box with the beliefs I've chosen to accept. And I can always change that box anytime I want to. If I just acknowledge what belief is keeping me in there, I felt like, oh my gosh, I felt like a jack in a box coming out of the box, like, woo.
Yeah. So isn't the word belief interesting? Because if you look at that, it's a belief, right? So we have chosen to believe something. So if we believe it and it's a limiting belief, like you said earlier, do we see that as a limiting belief? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm making sense here.
No, I don't think you do see it as a limiting belief when you have it, because that's your belief.
Yeah, that's your belief.
So hard. Like if you don't have a coach, like if you feel like you're stuck in life, like you have a box that you're living in, like, oh, you can't have a car better than this. You can't have a career better than this. You can't have a love better than this, but you yearn for it. That's probably a good indication that you have a limiting belief and you probably need a coach to help you break through, because life is limitless. And if you feel like it's got limits, you've got a limiting belief. And it's like, we all have them. Even when you're working on and like coaching about it, you still have them. Like I still have mine. Like I'll be noticing myself talking. I'm like, wait, limiting belief just uncovered. Okay. And just got to go through that one too. But I think the more that you have it pointed out and you start noticing it and you start really digging into your limiting beliefs, that you can start noticing more and more without other people's help. But I think the first few, it does help to have other people's help to point it out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's a limiting belief, like we said, you don't know it's necessarily a belief. But what you said was interesting, and that is, look at your results in your life, right? When 3 years ago, if we had this conversation and I gave you the falsities of, yes, I love myself and I don't care about what other people think, I didn't really look back at, well, I had 2 marriages that didn't work out. I was using alcohol and weed to feel comfortable. I made 5 business mistakes that cost $9 million. So it's almost like asking, do you have a drinking problem? And the person's like, well, I don't know. And I would just say, okay, how has alcohol affected your relationships? How has alcohol affected your workplace? How has alcohol affected your health? Have you got any trouble with the law? And if the answers to those are repeatedly yes, then maybe you have an issue with alcohol. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I didn't think I had any limiting beliefs, just look at where you are. Look at your relationships. Look at your health. Look at your kind of state of mind. Are you happy most of the time? Or are you triggered and pissed off most of the time? Do you have addictions? Do you drink too much? All of those things are signs that you may have limiting beliefs that are holding you back. I created this self-love quiz about 1 year ago for this very reason, because I created it for people like myself, because I thought I had self-love. And now I know I didn't for so many years. And that's what really held me back. So if you want to go check it out, just go to bradchandler.com/quiz. And within like 2.5 minutes, it doesn't take long, you can figure out truly if you have self-love. If you lack self-love, I think that's a really good indication of probably have limiting beliefs. Would you agree with that, Mitzi?
Yes. I feel like everything is a reflection from your inner, from you. So your romantic relationships are a reflection of how you love yourself. So if you have a romantic relationship that disrespects you, that doesn't love you, that abuses you, doesn't give you time, whatever it may be, now look at yourself and you are guilty. You can only let somebody disrespect you if you also disrespect yourself. You have to allow it. Like in the first time they start, you can exit. You don't have to stay around all of that. You can exit as carefully as possible, but you don't have to allow anyone to do that. And if you allow someone, a romantic partner, to disrespect you, to not love you, to abuse you, you're doing that first. And so you have to be like, oh man. And I asked one of my students this the other day. I was like, okay, she's been married for 13 years. And I said, do you feel loved? And I have my students answer the question right away. They're not allowed to think. Just answer the question, because I want your soul speaking, not your thinking mind. So I told her, just answer the question, no thinking. Do you feel loved in your relationship? And she said, no. I said, do you feel like he cares about your happiness? She said, no. And I said, okay. And I just asked a few more questions and they were all no's. And it was about how she feels loved. And I said, are you going to stay in this relationship? And she said, yes. And I was like, why? Because of her son. And I said, okay. And I was like, so why do you think it's okay to sacrifice your life and your ability to be and feel loved? Why do you think that's okay? And she just sat there and she was like, well, I don't want my son to be out of a broken family. And I was like, so he just gets to watch his mom not be loved. What kind of message do you think you're giving him?
Yeah.
But really, it's all from the inner. So like how abundant you feel on the inside, you're going to show it on the outside. How you feel love about yourself, you're going to show it on the outside. So if you're like, no, it's everybody else's fault or everybody else sucks. The thing is they're showing you something about yourself. If you can ask that question every time somebody irritates you, just ask yourself, like, why is this upsetting me? Like, what is going on here? Like, what am I wanting out of this situation? What am I not giving myself? How am I guilty of this? And there can be a lot of growth that happens.
Yeah. Wow. You just dropped a lot of gold nuggets there. I love what you said about disrespect. I'm going to say it a little differently, but it's the same exact way. I'm just going to let the listeners hear a different way. Can anyone really disrespect you? Or are you disrespecting yourself? I don't personally think anyone can, quote, disrespect you. How can they disrespect you if you don't allow them to? But what you said, Mitzi, was if someone mistreats you and you allow them to continue to mistreat you, then you're the one disrespecting yourself, not the other person. Certainly, yes, they have a part to play, but you need to step up and do what's right for you and your family. And wow, I mean, how many people out there? I have close friends who've been in relationships now for, I think, going on 25 years with children, and their marriage is just horrific. And they're like, no, we're doing it for the kids, but yet they're yelling and screaming that they hate each other. I'm like, no, you're not doing anything. You think you might be doing that for the kids, but I believe that the greatest gift that any parent can ever give a child is to teach them how to break the multi-generational curse that we're all involved in. And that curse is simply our parents passing down their stuff from their parents and their parents and their parents, where we lack self-love. And how do you do that? How do you give your child that gift of breaking the multi-generational curse? Well, you've got to teach a child how to love themselves unconditionally. That student that you just spoke about, Mitzi, is she loving herself unconditionally? No chance. So let's stay together so that my son doesn't see a broken home. But just like you said, I'm just using different words. You're teaching your son how to not love himself unconditionally. So guess what kind of relationship he's going to get into when he's of age? The same exact thing. And it's just going to repeat itself over and over and over again. And if you look around the world and you want to trace back every single problem we have, it comes back to this multi-generational curse and this lack of self-love. It really does.
Yes, I agree. Exactly, Brad. I think it comes down to how we raise our children, and our children need to really be shown unconditional love and also needs to see us unconditionally loving ourselves, not just them, but ourselves, not, oh, sacrifice yourself for other people's needs and wants. I wish that would stop the moms who are doing that and showing their daughters, yeah, as a woman, you just sacrifice your needs and wants. And as a man, you sacrifice your needs and wants, and you just do that for the family. It's like, what is the point? I don't understand what we were trying to teach there. But oh gosh, I just totally went off. I'm thinking of so many things right now. But with relationships, they're very important to show your children love. When it really comes down to it, the map of consciousness, I use a map of consciousness like from Dr. David R. Hawkins, and it shows courage and above is where you have powerful energy and things can start working for you. And it's just knowing your emotions. Like emotions are just a gauge of your state of consciousness in the moment. So love and above is when you can have miracles and you can have wonderful healings and all kinds of things start happening. And if we actually operated from a place of love, we would be so powerful and just bringing in abundance and healing and love and all the stuff that we're all wanting. And it's the things that we make excuses to do other things, not to give ourselves the one thing we're really after. Like we're after that Lamborghini because we want it to feel better. With anything we're after, we just want to feel better. And if we just could start in the household and love each other and show that unconditional love and show, hey, I've got boundaries, I've got standards, I love myself, I'm going to walk away when I'm not being loved. And your child sees that, guess what? They're going to do the same thing. Because sins of the father are passed down to the children. We pass down our programming, we pass down our habits, our limiting beliefs. And it's like, okay, now you get to deal with it since I didn't deal with it.
Yeah, people often say, you know, alcoholism runs in my family. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. Alcoholism doesn't run in your family. What runs in your family is the trauma and the limiting beliefs that are associated with the alcoholic person. There's no alcoholic gene. You don't have any alcoholic genes. So stop making that as an excuse. The real reason is because of how you were treated. So let's talk a little bit about how these limiting beliefs are created in us.
Oh,
where do they come from?
So the first 7 years of our lives, our mind is like fertile soil, just waiting for any seed. And the Bible says you reap what you sow. Well, most of us don't even know it was sowed. It was sowed when we were too young to know. So we are wonderful beings in that the first 7 years of our lives, we're able to learn so much by just watching and observing instead of having to have everything explained to us. So these seeds are being thrown at us from our parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, and there is no analytical mind to say, should I believe this or should I not? It just all gets accepted. So by the time you're 7 years old, you got a jungle going on in there and you are reaping what you're sowing, but you have no idea what's been planted. And so everything in your life, you are reaping what's been sowed. So if you don't like something, there may be something else that you need to plant. But most of it is for the first 7 years you were programmed. And then after that, you're still being programmed. You're constantly being programmed. And just you at least have an analytical mind that can determine if you want to accept it or not, unless it's kind of brainwashing tactic, which that's still out there too. It's pretty interesting. I forgot what it's called. I think it's a guy named Simon or something, but he will touch people and say certain words at certain times and brainwash them, like right there in front of them, make them want something that they didn't want before. So that's programming, and you get your beliefs just off of that. So until you're mindful, until you're aware, you're just reaping what everybody else sowed for you.
Yeah. So if someone makes you feel inadequate, if someone makes you feel not enough, if someone tells you point blank, because I've heard parents tell this, you're not going to amount to anything. I wish you were never born. Just terrible stuff like that. Your brain as a six-year-old, there's no logic. It's all emotion. So you've got to try to make logic of it. So you go to, this is happening to me for a reason, right? I must be bad. And that's what creates the limiting beliefs. Certainly for me, it was. I used to tell my second wife quite frequently how unintelligent I was. It was me not feeling enough. It was a limiting belief that I wasn't smart enough to get where I wanted to go. So yeah, good stuff. So what's your story, Mitzi? How did you get to where you are? What was your programming like?
Well, I grew up in an oldest of five, an abusive household. My mom was abused and then she didn't do any work for healing. And so she, of course, became the abuser. And because she didn't abuse us the exact same way she was abused, she thought she was better. So she did just as much damage to her kids as her mom did to her, if not sometimes I think worse. But my mom was an extremely hurt person. So all she knows how to do is hurt people, unfortunately, still to this day. So I have to keep a very distant relationship from her, but I have tried. So I don't know who my dad is. My brothers and sisters, we all have different dads. And I was pretty much the mom. So I had to take care of all of them. And a lot of people thought my mom was an alcoholic or a drug addict while I was growing up. No, it would have been so much better to say she was on drugs and on alcohol. But no, she was horrible sober. No, I shouldn't call her horrible. She is a very, very confused, hurt person. And unfortunately, unhealed people can be very dangerous people. And she falls in that. She is so unhealed and hurt. She's a dangerous person. Now, if you asked her if she was dangerous, she'd be like, no, I'm not dangerous. She is. Be careful. So growing up, my mom was awful. So she would say things to me. And it was just because she was so hurt. She would tell me that I ruined her life by being born. She would lock herself into the bathroom and act like she was killing herself because of me and how I ruined her life. And nothing would be happening for her. She would just have a breakdown. Anytime anything was going good, my mom had to sabotage it. So I noticed she had an upper limit to happiness. And I felt really bad for her because of that, because even as a kid, I could see it. But she was extremely physically abusive. So if she got really upset, she would just immediately start hitting or throwing stuff. I think she tried killing every single one of us at least one or two times. And
wow.
Well, fortunately, she only accomplished one. So every day it was bad. There was not one day of peace in my household. And so I was very shy. My mom told me nobody wanted to listen to anything I had to say. She told me that I looked like a little boy, that I'd be lucky if any guys ever liked me. And so I grew up thinking that I was this ugly, malformed looking person because I got really long legs and I'm thin. But a lot of people like that, actually. She was telling me a lot of stuff, and it wasn't actually until like 28 before I found out I was pretty. The people who were saying it at first, I thought were being mean to me. I thought they were making fun of me. I didn't think they were actually being serious. This is how much I did not believe it. And so I had to work on like my self-esteem, like even speaking up, like because my mom told me nobody ever wanted to hear anything I had to say, just be quiet, Mitzi, that kind of stuff. And so for me to be a speaker now, for me to be speaking up, for me to do anything that I'm doing is just interesting because I had overcome a lot of limiting beliefs. And so I got into abusive relationships, narcissistic relationships, awful. And it was teaching me how to love myself. Everything that was happening, I realized had to happen because there was something I needed to learn. So my mom set me up with certain obstacles that I had to overcome. And now maybe she didn't. Maybe it was my own soul that set myself up with these obstacles. And then she just played the role she needed to so that I could learn what I needed to overcome. And so these relationships that I got into, they weren't very loving. I didn't know anything about narcissism. So while we were in counseling, he got diagnosed as a narcissistic personality disorder. And they said he scored so high, they wanted to study him. Oh, and so he was pretty upset about that. And then I dated a psychopath after him. So narcissistic abuse and psychopathic abuse has got to be sometimes some of the worst abuse out there. And they abuse you on every level and they pretty much destroy you as a person. It's almost like they want to kill your soul. And actually looking back at it now, I realize that they're just hurt too. They were made in the same kind of household, abusive household. And I needed to learn from them where I was not honoring myself. And now because of them, because of my mom, because of all this stuff, like none of that hurts anymore. Like I went process the emotions, all of that kind of stuff. And I can tell this story. Sometimes telling the story, it's kind of weird saying it out loud now because it's like, I don't feel like it was me anymore. Because that wasn't who I am now. But I'm grateful because it all allowed me to see, grow, and learn what I wasn't doing for myself so that I could start doing it, so I could teach other people how to do it. So basically, I came from an abusive household, very limited beliefs, very small town. So I started reading books. I started hiring coaches as soon as I could. I was hiring counselors, hypnotherapists. I was trying to do everything I could to learn to be better, to do better. The very first self-help book I got was Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life. I thought it was I was whining so much back then and I knew it.
So Mitzi, you had just about every single strike against you, right? You had physical abuse, you had mental abuse, which oftentimes is worse than physical abuse. Yeah. You didn't know who your father was. So the little girl is saying, where's my father? He must not be here because something's wrong with me. And certainly my mom is telling me that. You also were given the role of caring for your siblings. So Can a child play the parent role effectively? Never, right? So your little brain is telling you, I can't do this. I'm a failure. So this had a tremendous impact on your life. And now you've changed. I mean, I wouldn't have had you on the show if you were the old Mitzi, right? You have done the work. You have changed. Your life is thriving now. You have a very successful real estate business. You coach people now that have gone through the same traumas and pain as you've gone through. Some people don't do that. So you said these people were put into place for you to learn. I get that and I agree with that. But what advice can you give to people who are like, man, I'm in a bad place and either I was just as bad as a child, not you were bad, your situation, or it wasn't that bad, but they're in a place right now that they're not happy with. What should they do? Instead of just carrying on, because so many people just carry on, they take what they were given as a child and they just stay in these miserable relationships and just live a really, really unjoyous, unfulfilled life.
I had to start to get to know myself. I had to ask myself, what makes me happy? And get really serious on knowing what that stuff is, like what actually really makes me happy. I started learning about the subconscious mind and the reticular activating system, how the mind worked and all of that. But I would say, ask yourself what makes you happy. Start writing it down. Start doing more of that.
Yeah. And you and I both know that what you went through as a child was big T trauma. That's major trauma, right? But you can be in the same situation with little things happening to you. It doesn't have to be something outrageous. And whether you have little trauma or which is like your sister coming home from the hospital and you think your parents love her more than you, those little traumas get buried in our subconscious mind. So unfortunately, we're going to have to end here soon. I know you and I could talk about this stuff for 24 hours. We just absolutely love it. And the spiritual stuff you started about, oh my gosh, maybe that's another conversation. But anyway, we go through these tough times and you went through some terrible tough times. And these beliefs that we started this conversation with are around the limiting beliefs. They're buried in your subconscious mind. So like me and so many millions of human beings on this planet, billions probably, they have no idea that those beliefs are buried in them and they're driving the behavior just like you didn't. Why did you get with a narcissistic person? Why did you get with a psychotic person? You had no idea, but there were beliefs in you that were like, you are no good and whatever those beliefs were. So that's a huge thing. Like you said, you've got to get to that unconscious brain, the subconscious brain, to figure out what are those thoughts driving your behavior. So Mitzi, what do you do now? How do you help people get from where you were to where you are today? And how do people reach you?
I help people stop sabotaging themselves and live the life that they really want, their ideal life. So break through those upper limits, identify them, work through them, process them, and keep on raising up so you don't live in a box anymore. Yeah, so how to get a hold of me? You guys can get a hold of me at MitziDiane@gmail.com, and it's MitziDiane. And then you can text me. It's always best to text 903-372-7189. And it's scrolling along the bottom here too, 903-372-7189.
Mitzi, what did I not ask you that in closing you think would be really helpful for people to know?
If you want to know how many limiting beliefs you have or how much limiting belief you have, try to stretch. The tighter you are, the more limiting beliefs you have.
Love it.
And the more emotions you're holding on to.
Love it. Good stuff. Guys, if you like the podcast, please go ahead and like it, subscribe it, share it, whatever you want to do to get the word out there. We are trying to help a million people end their suffering and find ultimate happiness. So I need everyone's help in doing that. Mitzi, thank you so much for being on the show. That was awesome.
Thank you for having me, Brad.
Till next time, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.